Matthew 11, verse 20. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now the passage that we have read together will reveal to us 3 days. I want you to think that we have in the passage the day of judgment. For the Lord Jesus is speaking to a people in the day in which he lived here upon earth, and he's telling them that it is more tolerable for cities that were many years before their time in the day of judgment than it would be for them, because they had great opportunity and they had great privilege with the Lord Jesus being in their midst, and they having rejected him, the Lord Jesus projects their thought forward to a day of judgment. That is found in verse number 22. Then I want you to think of a day of visitation. For the Lord Jesus says in verse number 21, for example, "If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in these other cities." And so we have a day of visitation, again, when the Lord Jesus was among them. And finally, in verse number 28, I want you to think that though it's not mentioned, we do have a day of grace. For the Lord Jesus is issuing invitation, and the Lord Jesus is proclaiming that he is the one in whom rest is found. And so he can say, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. I will give you rest." Now God visits sin, but the accounts are not always settled immediately. That's what we have before us in the passage. Like the Lord Jesus is speaking to certain who have known the graciousness of his presence and his ministry and have rejected that. And because of their sin and their opposition, God is going to bring them into judgment. God does visit sin, even if accounts aren't settled immediately. In that context, I was thinking of an incident that I read one time concerning a man who wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and would have little to do with what he termed Christianity. So much so that he said in his letter that he prepared his field on a Sunday, and he planted his field on a Sunday, and he harvested his field on a Sunday, and he had one of the best crops that he'd ever had. And the editor of the newspaper put a little note at the bottom, to the extent of the words that we have already used, that while it may be true that he has received an increase from the ground and the increase into his granary. Yet, God does not necessarily settle accounts immediately. That's why the scripture reminds us that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we are reminded in the scripture concerning the fact that if God should mark iniquity, then who should stand? There be not one of us that would stand this evening if God should immediately mark iniquities. And so we have here mention in Matthew chapter 11 of a day of judgment. The people in the Lord's day were seeking guidance. And I think that that is true of many in our day, that they seek after guidance. They want direction. They want help. And the Lord Jesus was saying on this occasion that many had gone to the professed wise and prudent, and they had been turned away without any satisfaction in guidance to their soul. Says the Lord Jesus, "Come unto me." The wise and the prudent in the days of the Lord Jesus, those who profess such status, had left the people unsettled and scattered and distressed. But the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." What we really need, like the people in this day, as we face up in the presence of God to the fact of sin, is not an explanation of why people do things, but a confession of what people have done. We know why people do things that are wrong, because the scripture reveals to us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death has passed upon all men, for all sin. And we've come into the world in that condition, as those who are sinners. And what we need is not an explanation of why people do things. We know why people do things, because they are sinners. But we need a confession of what has been done. And that's what the people in this day needed, as they were faced with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they turned away from him, the Lord Jesus could say, "If the mighty works that have been done in you," the cities of his day, "had been done in cities of an earlier day, they would have repented long ago, and those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, suffered the judgment of God when fire came down from heaven." And so we notice that we have here a day of visitation. Mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ have been declaring that he is one who has come from God. The riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we reminded on a past evening, is so amazing. I'm thinking of a man recorded in Luke's Gospel, it is, and he was Simon by name, Simon the Pharisee. Simon invited the Lord Jesus into his house. And as the Lord Jesus came to his house, Simon never gave him the common courtesy of the day. He never washed his feet. And he never anointed his head with oil. And he never showed him the common courtesy of having a guest in the house. That tells me that Simon invited the Lord Jesus not for hospitality's sake, but Simon invited the Lord Jesus for hostility's sake. He wanted to have the Lord Jesus in his house so that he would have occasion against him in his house. And as the Lord Jesus is there, there comes a dear woman into Simon the Pharisee's house, and she begins to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. Now, Simon sitting back, Simon the upright, the Pharisee, the man who thought himself to be righteous and despised others, as was common of the Pharisees, Simon is sitting back in his house, and he's observing what is happening. And he says in himself, Because the people previously had been speaking about the Lord Jesus as being a prophet. And Simon says in his heart, if this man were a prophet, then he would know who and what manner of woman this is that is doing this to him, for she is a sinner. Simon had looked upon the woman's past and knew all about her. He wouldn't have helped her because he was a Pharisee. And he knew all about her and had despised her. And now this dear woman comes into Simon's house and she begins to wash the Lord's feet with tears and to wipe them with the hair of her head. And Simon says, he's already decided in his mind that the Lord Jesus is no prophet at all. And the Lord Jesus says to Simon, Simon, I've got something to say to you, Simon. There was a man, and he had two debtors. And one owed 500 pence, and one owed 50. Simon, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Which one's going to love him most? Well, says Simon, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. Yes, Simon, that's true. Here comes a woman, and she is giving expression to a first love. She's a woman that has been forgiven much. And Simon, she's showing affectionately that she loves the one who has forgiven her. Why do I know that? I know that because as I read through the gospel records, I find that that incident in Simon's house comes chronologically after the incident that we have read in Matthew chapter 11. One day the Lord Jesus stood and the crowd must have been around him. And that's the occasion that we have read of here. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that dear woman heard the Saviour say, I will give you rest. She knew that that's what she needed. She knew that her life was anything but peaceful and restful. It had been marked by sin and sinning. And now Simon's looking upon this woman. And he says, if this man were a prophet, he would know that she's a sinner. No, Simon. She's past that now. She's past her sinning. She's been forgiven. See, Simon was just looking on outward things. And he knew the past, but he didn't know the present. And the Lord Jesus, who looks on the heart, knew that dear woman's heart. And knew that she had heard him say just previously. I don't know how long previously. But previous to her coming into the house. And he had stood with authority and said, unlike many who professed leadership amongst the people, the Lord Jesus stood with authority and he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She responded to that word of the Lord Jesus and came and found rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. How did she come? Well, she didn't just come to him physically, though now later on she's doing that as she begins to wash his feet. But she had realized that her sins were a burden. Just like David long before had said that, mine iniquities are gone over my head, and as a heavy burden, they are too heavy to bear. And this woman was in a similar situation. And she knew that sin was a burden. And it was giving her no rest, night nor day. And now the Lord Jesus is saying, that man that has moved into their midst, he's saying, come unto me. Perhaps she had been to wise and prudent men in the day, and had found no relief, and had found no rest, and still she was troubled. And the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where do we go? Unto me, says the Lord Jesus. Who are to go? All that labour and are heavy laden. Why should we go? Because there's rest found in trusting in Jesus. The Lord Jesus could say such things because he had come That's what I intended to say earlier on. We might wonder and marvel why the Lord Jesus Christ should go into Simon's house. Why it is, if the Lord Jesus knew all things, that he should move into Simon the Pharisee's house when he knew that it was only out of hostility that Simon was inviting him. Well, I know that the Lord Jesus would go to Simon's house because he's a gracious man and he's after Simon's soul, as he's after all. And I wouldn't be surprised when I get to heaven if Simon's there. But the Lord Jesus went to Simon's house because he loved him. What's a wonder to my soul? It's not that the Lord Jesus went into Simon's house. The wonder to my soul is that ever the Lord Jesus came from heaven. Because man had sinned against the God of heaven and had chosen his own way and had moved in his own course, and yet the Son of God came down from the heights of heaven's glory, moved here amongst men, as we have read this evening, and gave invitation to men and women to come unto him. Why was he there? He was moving on to Calvary's cross. There he must die and suffer. There he must bear the awful judgment of God because of sin. There the fury of divine justice is exposed to his soul. There the Savior died when he gave himself a ransom for all. Now the Lord Jesus is able to say to us, as he said to the crowd before him the day from which we have taken the reading, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want you to notice three things in relation to the little word "come." When we think of the word "come," we think of a distance between two. A distance between two. If I was to invite you to come and stand by me on this platform, then that implies that there's a distance between us. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, could say to the people, "Come." Why? Because there's a distance between them. Stands the Holy Son of God in all the purity of his character at a distance from man who is marked by sin. And yet lovingly, compassionately, feelingly, the Lord Jesus can say, "Come unto me." It implies a distance between two. It implies a desire on the part of one. The Lord Jesus desires that men and women should come to him. He wouldn't say it if he didn't mean it. He wouldn't issue invitation if it wasn't true. The desire of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in our text, that he desires men and women and boys and girls to come unto him. But that little word also implies another thing. Not only a distance between two, and not only the desire on the part of one, but it implies a decision on the part of the other. I could say "come," and you not come, because your will is made that you'll not obey or take up the invitation. The Lord Jesus could say in his day that they would not come to him. "They will not come to me that they might have life." What was he saying? He was saying that their will was such that they had decided that they would not come. They willed not to come to him. Now the Lord Jesus, presenting the text as we have it in the scripture, says to each one of us, as we're gathered this evening, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Shall we enter in this evening? Shall we come and know God's salvation? What shall our decision be this evening as the Savior says, "Come"? Many have heard the sweetness of the invitation and have gone outside a gospel meeting and have missed God's salvation at last. How sad! Having sat and heard the grandest, the greatest invitation that has been given to man, and at last to miss God's salvation. at last to find that the opportunity is gone. And like the people that the Lord Jesus is speaking to, stand in a day of judgment. May it be that we heed the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May the Lord bless the preaching of his word.